So beautiful. Our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2. We're going to read 41 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thanks be to God. All right. Do we have any introverts here in the church this morning? Any introverts? Okay. I was checking y'all to see. I figured the introverts would not raise their hand. Yeah. All right. Y'all are good. Y'all are good this morning. I say that because as I read this passage this week, as a fellow introvert, believe it or not, for the most part, I thought to myself, my goodness, this is scary, you know? They're spending a lot of time together. They are spending a lot of time together. And the introvert in me was like, whoa, wait a minute. But also, there's something beautiful in this passage. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. There's just something incredible about what happens when the church comes together here. And you know, last week we explored everything kind of leading up to this. We talked about how when Peter spoke his message, the people responded. How the gospel is ultimately a response to what God is doing in our lives and what God is doing in our world. And so the people responded, and we get to read about their response here this morning. And then immediately what happened after that. And I know what you're thinking. We'll probably get finished with Acts in like December 2025. But I promise we're going to pick it up a little bit. But there's just something incredible about us seeing what the church was about after it was founded. And I think we can learn a lot about it, because when you think about it, Jesus told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and to wait for the promise of the Spirit, to wait for the Spirit's coming. And then after that, that was it. That's all he said. So what we see here is what the result is of the Spirit and the people, what is the result of that. They're deciding along with the Spirit, what do we do now that the Spirit has come? What does it mean to be the church? And so we're told they begin some very specific practices that they do together. And I like that word practice. I like that word practice because to me it implies something that you do over and over again, and it implies that you have to keep doing it to get better at it. I think sometimes we forget as Christians, you know, we've got a lot to learn and a lot to unlearn when it comes to our hearts, when it comes to just living as a Christian, as Jesus calls us to in this world. And I think sometimes we have to stop and remember, too, that what's really cool about this passage as well is that there's one church. This is it. You know, we live in a time where there's a church on every corner almost, especially in this part of the country. And so it's incredible to think that there's only one church that's going on right now. And I think that's important for us to pay attention to, because in my experience, churches can be about a whole lot of different things. You know, there's a lot of things that the church can spend its time on and focus on and do. And I think we need to look back at what the church is doing here to maybe get our own perspective of what that should be. There's a church that I see sometimes when I drive on Briley Parkway, and I see their sign on the interstate there. And I'm excited for them because I'm like, they're doing a lot. I also feel exhausted every time I read it because it feels like they got something going on, a skate night, a elderly awareness something. I don't know what the elderly need to be aware of, but something. Maybe I read that wrong. But anyway, they always have things going on. And if we're not careful, we can spend our whole life, many of us are like, amen, we can spend our whole life doing church things and really need to, and I think we need to really figure out what's important this morning. And so let's take a look at our passage. In our passage this morning, we see four specific activities in verse 42, and then we see the results of those activities in the rest of the verses. So let's take a look here. First, we read that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves through the apostles' teaching. You know, one of the sections of Acts that we didn't read together was in chapter 1. And in chapter 1, when they go through and they decide we need to pick a new 12th disciple because Judas didn't work out, and so they said we need to pick a new 12th disciple. And so when they were doing that, they thought, you know, they had a criteria. They didn't just say anybody can be a disciple, but they said, you know, we have to have a certain criteria. And that criteria was someone that's been with Jesus since the very beginning of his ministry until the very end, until we saw him be ascended. And so they selected that person. And it's important for us to recognize that they did that because they felt so strongly that the apostles' teaching here was about their life with Jesus. All the things that they saw Jesus do, the things they heard him say, the miracles, the mundane things, the day-to-day things, everything. I have to imagine they had a wealth of teaching that they could offer from their time with Jesus that they were teaching the rest of his new disciples about. And now, you know, when we think back at the early church, we might think, well, what duh, like, of course that's what they did. But one thing I think I was especially drawn to this week as I read this passage is that word that I read in our NIV translation, devoted to, that they were devoted to his teaching, and devoted to all those things, those four things. But what I was really drawn to is that when you look at it in the Greek, devoted's good, but it also really, I liked how it was translated in other ways, that they persevered in these activities, that they persevered in these practices. And I think that's really, really important. Translation or one definition said it means to continue to do something with intense effort with the possible implication despite difficulty, to devote oneself to keep on, to persist in. And I think this is important because, one, it implies to us that being a Christian is not a casual thing. I think sometimes in our country, at least in my life, in a place of really limited persecution, I can sometimes forget that being a Christian is not a casual thing. It is a wonderful thing, but it also will cost you your whole life. Your whole life belongs to Jesus now. It is not your own, and I think we forget that sometimes. And the other thing that I really thought about this week when it comes to that particular word is that we have to persevere in doing it. Because being a part of a church, I don't know about y'all, I have to persevere in that sometimes. I get tempted sometimes to say, you know what, that's it. I've enjoyed my time here, but I need some time away, right? I think all of us that have been in a church maybe have experienced that in some way. And if you haven't, God bless you. Maybe I need to come talk to you because I've faced that sometimes. And sometimes, especially in today's time, we are bombarded with ways to spend our time, with entertainment options, with so many things. And to think about the disciples having to persevere in what they're doing is important because it means there's going to be times when we have to do it even though we don't feel it. There's times when we have to do it even when it seems like it's the last thing we should be doing. But Scripture here clearly points to the fact that it takes perseverance and it takes a community of support. We tell ourselves that it's about our own personal walk with Jesus. I've heard that language a lot in church. But really, in my experience, there is no substitute for being a part of a faith community that can help provide you with teaching and learning that you might not know, that can provide you accountability for your actions, that can provide you encouragement in difficult times, encourage you in your strengths that you have, in the things that God has blessed you with, the gifts, and also the gifts of different perspectives. How many times have we been in a Bible study or been with someone and they said something to you and you thought, I have never thought about it that way? That is a gift that God gives us in each other that we need to remember and hang on to when it comes to persevering in the apostles' teaching. There are things that we need to share together that help us be devoted to the Christian life. And this can look different. Sometimes it looks like our formal Bible study that we have here at Brush Hill, like at Sunday school in the mornings or on Wednesday nights. Sometimes it looks like people getting together at their homes, crowded around the kitchen table or in the, you know, at a store or something and talking about what God is up to. It can look differently. And I think sometimes we think it, just because it's this formal thing, doesn't mean it's taking place in a lot of different ways throughout our church. And it's really, really important. So we have to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. We also have to be devoted to fellowship, as it says, fellowship. Now, if I did a poll about what fellowship means in church, I think I'd get a lot of different answers. Because to me, sometimes I feel like fellowship is something that's almost like a catch-all term in churches. Like, oh, you know, we talked about, our weeks or our game after church, we were fellowshipping. Or we went to a skate night and we were fellowshipping. To me, it's one of these things that it's almost like a catch-all thing for doing any sort of activity at church. And so it's important for us to look at that. The Greek word for fellowship is, oh man, I wrote down, I've been pronouncing it all week, and now I look at it and it's just gone. Greg, do you remember how to pronounce it? Starts with a K. Koinonia, that's it. Boom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Spirit. Koinonia. And it basically means a common sharing or participation in. A common sharing or participation. And so we ask, what are they sharing? What are they sharing? They're sharing their lives. They're sharing their spiritual friendships. They're developing spiritual friendships. And this, to me, is important because your church experience must be about creating these spiritual friendships, not just casual friendships. I like how one pastor described the three things this involves. It involves sharing your feelings, sharing your things, and sharing your faith. We have to, and I've seen it so much in this church and in my own life, we have to be willing to find a place or a relationship or relationships where we feel comfortable sharing what's on our heart, sharing what's going on with our feelings, sharing about what we're experiencing and what we're doing, and to find that and to create that. Because it's not, we don't just find it, we don't just stumble upon a church and say, wow, that's it, I found it. But it's also something that churches have to create together. It's about finding and creating that place where you can be yourself without judgment, or to speak about what you're going through and to share your feelings and know that who you're sharing it to is not going to go run and tell six other people who don't really need to know. It's about sharing your feelings. And I know as a man, talking to the men especially, that sharing the feelings thing is not what we like to do. And we do it in a lot of different ways, but it's important to find the avenue that works for us and to do that at church. It's also about sharing your things. Notice in verses 44 and 45, it talks about how they had everything in common, that they would sell their possessions, that they'd sell their property and distribute the money to whoever was in need. Isn't that beautiful and at the same time challenging? Can you imagine if someone came in from our church and was really going through something, people that would be willing to sell their possessions, to sell what they had invested in and say, you know what, I count this relationship more important than this property or this thing that I have. This person matters to me more than what I have. That is something beautiful. And it's what true fellowship involves. If you're not just, you have to share your feelings, but you also have to share your things. And we see that through Acts. The missionaries stay in one another's homes. They eat one another's food. That's something beautiful about a potluck lunch or dinner that we have here. We're sharing one another's food. We do this in a lot of small ways, and I want to challenge our church to continue to do that in big ways too. To let go of your valuing your stuff more than valuing the people in our church and in our life. And then finally, it's also about sharing your faith. This is radical, but I feel like Christian friends should talk about God together. Should share about what God's up to in their life. Should share about the things that maybe they struggle with their faith, or the things that they're celebrating in their faith. Christian friends should talk about God together. And that's important. That's important because if you can't talk about it with your church family or the people that are close to you, who are you going to talk about it with? But the gift of this common relationship, this sharing that we have, is amazing, and we should take advantage of that. When you go home, you should go and Google the one another verses. There are so many verses throughout the New Testament where it talks about do this with one another, love one another. Over and over and over and over in Scripture, we see that. And we can only do those things if we belong and we make church a priority to us. And now there's so many more things to be said about Christian fellowship, but I want to finish that this kind of point on two things. I've encountered a couple extremes when it comes to fellowship. The first is I've encountered people that think fellowship, as I've mentioned, is just getting together and talking about whatever. Talking about anything and everything actually but Christ. And while that is good, you're missing the heart of fellowship, which is Christian fellowship, which is sharing about God together. It's about taking time to really engage in what God is doing. But I've also encountered people on the other side that only want to talk about the really important things of faith. And while that is vital, it's hard to get there without having a lot of casual time invested in friendships. You need time where you just go hang out and enjoy something together. You need time where you can talk about the game or to talk about or whatever. You just can't stay there. It has to be a place where you build trust, but where you transition to talking about what's important. And the other thing is you're not going to have it with everybody in church. You're just not. Having a true friend is something rare in life, I feel like. And so it's important to hang on to those people and those relationships that are those true friends and to recognize it's okay that you don't talk about the deepest parts of your faith with every single person. Because I just don't know if you can with every single one, but God has gifted you with people in your life that are vital for your walk in faith. And to prayer as well. It talks about prayer, and that is so important. You must, when it comes to fellowship and finding those relationships, prayer is so, so important. And my friends, I think this is extra important in today's time because we live in this modern moment where church is a struggle for a lot of people. It's a struggle for a lot of people in church, and it's a whole lot of struggle for people that are not in church. And some of that struggle is something that has been around since the beginning of the church. That it's hard to live in a church and in a time where people are resistant to faith. Or it's hard to live in a time when we do face persecution or things like that. But also we have to recognize, too, that the church, ultimately, ideally, is a bunch of people that are broken and in need of grace. And when you really think about that, it's no wonder that we can sometimes have conflicts in the church. It's no wonder that sometimes we can have difficulty sharing with one another in church. It's no wonder that we can have fights sometimes in the church over silly things, because the church ultimately is not a bunch of great people getting together saying we want to belong to one another. It's a bunch of people that recognize we need help and God is providing it, and so we've got to work out what that means together. And so I want to encourage you, if you face some conflict in the church, I've faced some conflict in the church this very week, and I want to encourage you to keep going, to keep pursuing that, to keep loving one another and forgiving one another. And also to recognize that, again, in our current times, we face a world of technology, a world where it's a lot easier to sit at home and to watch the preacher or to listen to the pastor speak or to listen to the music and not actually get involved and engage. And I see there's something great in that we're getting the message out, but you're also just missing the messiness of church. And again, as painful as that is sometimes, it's also so important for us to grow as people. And it calls us to, because I feel like so many times we also tend to group up in like-minded groups of people that think like us and have beliefs like us and, you know, think certain ways. And church, to me, is also a beautiful thing because you're going to encounter people that aren't that way. And you have to figure out, how do we live in fellowship? How do we live loving those people as well? And so I say all this, both the struggles of church and the beauty of church, to encourage all of us to examine our own lives and to examine our own faiths at this moment and to examine these things that the early church was about and to say to ourselves, does our life reflect this? Are we devoted to the apostles' teaching? Are we devoted to God's word like we should be? And are we devoted to it with people like we should be? Are we praying for one another? And not just in the southern polite way of praying for one another. I mean praying for one another. I mean getting together and praying for one another. Are we really fellowshipping with each other? Are we taking time to share what God's up to in our life? To share our things with other people who are maybe going through a hard time? And to share our feelings as well? And finally, you may have noticed I left one of those things out. But it's one of the most important things. It talks about how they broke bread together. They broke bread together. And I think I intentionally left that out because when I think about how do we find the power, how do we find the ability to continue being a part of the church when maybe the church has hurt us somehow? Or maybe we're falling into a rut and we just the idea of getting together with people is and talking about faith is so hard. And I find a lot of strength in the breaking of bread, in the reference to communion that it talks about, of remembering how we have a God who did not stand far off, but who decided to come to us, to get invested in our lives, to get invested in your life. As wonderful as it is or as messy as it is, God wanted to be a part of it. He wanted to fellowship with you. He wanted to share his heart of what life is all about from the designer, God's self. God wanted for us to experience prayer so that we might experience this relationship. And so the Lord came to us, and he lived among us, and he gave his life for our sins. He gave his life for the messiness of the entire world, that the world and us, that our very lives might be redeemed and broken free from that bondage of sin and slavery. And so I just want to encourage you this morning, if you're in that place of struggling with church right now, to come break bread with us one Sunday, to come and to think about all that God has done for you, that God is not standing apart from you, but has drawn close to you in Jesus. And I think that the more we do that, the more we reflect on that, the more we invest in that relationship, the more we'll find our own hearts melted toward our brothers and sisters, that we might look at one another and see Christ in them, to see someone that God dearly, dearly loves and who gave everything for, and maybe even see that in ourselves as well. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we come before you now just thanking you so much for this gift that is the church. Lord, sometimes it's frustrating. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes, God, it seems like the last thing we want to do is to take time to invest in other people's lives or have them be invested in ours. But God, we're so thankful that we have a God that took time for us, that we have a God that looked on us and said that you are worth getting messy for. You are worth bleeding and dying for because I see something beautiful in you and I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to forgive you and release you and set you on fire so that you can recognize how wonderful you are, God. We see that in our Lord and Savior Jesus, and I pray you'd help our church to see that in one another, to invite people and to really look into our own lives and think about the ways in which we have become hard-hearted toward our brothers and sisters in the faith. And God, renew us through your Spirit. Help us to respond to what you're doing by being devoted to your word, being devoted to discovering and learning more about what your word says for our life through common devotion to it with our sisters and our brothers. Help us to fellowship, to share our very lives, to share our faith, and to share our things with one another, that we might truly experience love. And God, help us to be devoted to prayer and to the breaking of bread, to always retelling and to remembering and proclaiming the saving death of our Lord and Savior Jesus. We love you and we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as we think about as we celebrate and worship God through our last song, think about where you might be with this early church, the things that they are doing. Where might God be calling you to maybe come be reinvested in? Or maybe if God has laid anything else on your heart, respond to the Spirit as we sing our final hymn. Let's worship.